Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to everybody. I am Dr. Lorenza D. Smith, the host of Balling with the Doc, a talking sports plus radio show production. We're very excited to come before you today. We're normally every Friday at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Now, one of the questions that always come out when we're doing this show, why do you need to do a show called Balling with the Doc? The Doc's going to share that his expertise, which is myself, about sports and the hottest topics of the week. And the week has been really hot. It's been banging hot. I'll tell you that right now. Now, if you want to call into this show, call in and share your thoughts about it, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to the web link and listen to this show, Balling with the Doc, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production. Now, also, there's several other ways you can contact us. You can go to the email. That's going to actually be LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. If you want to just go to our show, which is Talking Sports Plus, you can email us through TalkingSportsPlus@gmail.com. And if you also want to tweet the show, you have that opportunity. So we're using several options that you can contact us, but we really want to make sure you call in. All right, the Twitter account is at Lorenza D. Smith. So, again, we're very excited about having the opportunity to come before you here on this Friday afternoon. You know, the weekend starts basically when people get off work at 5, and most of the individuals are off work, if not about to get off. And we just say have a very safe weekend. And we look forward to having you join us every week. Join us every week. We have three shows that occur on Blog Talk Radio, as well as Facebook Live and Instagram Live. Today we're just only doing Facebook Live. So in essence, I can see several people have joining, watching at this time and join us. That's BJ Jefferson. I appreciate you doing that. And Tabitha McKinley, I thank you for joining us. So again, now the contact number, and I'll repeat, that's 347-857-4192. And when you call in, you can listen to the show as well as take this opportunity to share your thoughts. All you have to do is press 1, and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and then I will then ask you to come on and join us and state your point of view. But first, identify yourself, your name, and your location. This show is all about hot topics. The title of the show today is Sports Hot Button Topics. And it just basically is a follow-up for my show on Wednesday night. As I mentioned, we have 2 other shows, and let me take this opportunity to talk about those shows as well. On Monday night, every other Monday, we have a show entitled Talking Real to You on Blog Talk Radio with the same telephone number as well as the same website. We're working out of one production area. And you can call 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Now, that show is all about talking about real-life issues. Just plain old life issues. You want to talk about something dealing with social. Last week we had I had a bomb and an exciting time talking about social media versus real friends. Social media friends versus real friends. So we know we want to come at you all kind of ways. We'll talk about economic. We have guest experts on here. We have individuals that are more or less they call themselves stars. We'll call them stars, too. They come on, want to interview. We try to get the best of the best to come in and talk with us on Monday night as well as on Tuesday night. Also, my co-host and my special guest expert on Monday night is Lauren D. Smith, which is my daughter. On Monday night, you'll be listening to a blog talk show with a father and daughter, which is the only blog talk show team in the country. So it's something special. So call it an expert. That a special expert that'll be with is Dr. Olivia E. Smith. So we look forward to talking about plain old life issues, just plain old life issues. All right, let's look out, and I have to do this because it's part of the radio show and the production, Talking Sports Plus every Wednesday night. And we come 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Make sure you call in. You can call in at the same call-in number that's listed on my shoulder for those individuals who's able to see me on Facebook, but I'll do it for my listening audience on Blog Talk Radio. That's 347-857-4192. Then you also can call us like on Friday, like Balling with the Doc, just myself. I'm here before you, just sharing all the topics that the hottest topics that occurred this week, the hot button topic. So, ways you can contact, and gave you all that information. I want you to join us. Make sure you call in. It's no problem. I want to see this board light up. You got an opportunity to call in, 347-857-4192. Balling with the Doc. It's been a hot week, and it all started off on Wednesday, even though that was the middle of the week. We had things that occurred on Monday and Tuesday, but it became very, it was hot button on Wednesday when it came out, the situation with Urban Meyer at Ohio State University. There's a lot of things going on up there. We might not have all the information. A lot of the pundits and talking heads have already shared thoughts about the possibility he will be fired, and it has to do with domestic violence. And I want you to share your thoughts, and I want you to either share your thoughts on Facebook, or either you can contact by calling in and share your thoughts in regards to that. It's a situation that occurred with one of his assistant coaches, wide receiver coach, Zach Smith, and his ex-wife. So it goes back and dated back to 2009, which Urban Meyer was not the coach in 2009. And matter of fact, this young man was not a part of that staff, but he was a part of a staff in Florida, which was University of Florida, where Urban Meyer was a coach. They had a situation then, 2009. Then there's a report of a 2015 domestic violence arrest, which kind of led to where a protection order was issued against him in regards to his wife, Courtney Smith, and he violated that protection order. So last week, Urban Meyer stated that he had to release Zach Smith because of the domestic violence, or his behavior is not indicative of the program. And then when he was asked by Brent McMurphy, did he know about the arrest that occurred in 2015? Urban Meyer admitted he knew about 2009, understanding getting information about most recent trespassing and violation of the protection order. However, he said it was nothing to that. And he said, you know, nobody will make that up. This is quoted with Urban Meyer. Brent McMurphy went and researched. He talked to Courtney Smith. He pulled up records, and the record shows that Zach Smith was arrested in 2015. So everybody said Urban Meyer lied to us. He was not honest by telling he there was nothing to that. It was no case, which actually that was a case. But there's some controversy with this. I want you to understand how big this situation is. It is very big. It has been the talk, the hot button topic since it came out on Wednesday. Every talking head and pundit that's talking on any show dealing with sports or any news story, news show that's dealing with sports is talking about this situation. Whether Urban Meyer would be fired because he's misleading the public. And I'm not saying he's done that, because it has to be proven that he's done that. But there's a lot of circumstances going on with this situation. But before I go into further, I want to make sure you understand. At no point I agree with anybody violating anybody other, any other person's rights. Domestic violence is not to happen, and when it's happened, it needs to be dealt with severely. I don't agree with it. I have sisters. I have children. Have daughters. Have relatives that are female. My mother passed right now. Again, my mother passed, so she's not here. But still, I don't want that to happen to any one of my family members or with you or your family members. Now, I just don't want it to be happening anyway when you think you physically can put your hand on someone and think you can get away with it. So the point, I want you to understand, I do not agree with it. If this is true, Urban Meyer will be fired. And his wife will lose her job because, I'm going to add some caveat, because there are some things going on after they interviewed Courtney Smith. When they interviewed Courtney Smith, she stated that all the assistant coaches' wives, as well as Shelly Myers, which is the wife of Urban Myers, knew about this because she shared texts, pictures, and everything with Shelly Myers, as well as other assistant coaches' wives. Now, the question was, one of the texts indicated she has already interviewed on Stadium and several news outlets throughout the last few days. And she stated that she told Shelly Myers, she shared it to with Ms. Myers, and she also have a text saying that Shelly Myers said that she will have to tell Urban about this. So we are taking this and running up. Now, all this come about because of that Big Ten Media Day interview when he was asked about it. And he said that, you know, someone was making this up, this didn't happen. And he came back and reinforced it and said he know it didn't happen. However, there's report. So it's so conflicting going on to the point that Ohio State University have decided to put a six-member panel together to go and look at three of our board members, true enough, and three other individuals outside the university is going to do this investigation. Now, the question is, what should happen to Urban Meyer in this investigation? Should he be fired when they find out he didn't do anything? But there's so many rims of this, so many layers of this. Let's say layers, where we got to understand, when you're dealing with more or less a situation on a college campus, every employee, as well as any public education setting, if you know of a case dealing with domestic violence or dealing with abuse, you have to report it to, if it's in the secondary or elementary level, report it to DHR. It's mandatory reporting. And with Title IX on the college level, because of many situations with Dr. Larry Nassar, and with that situation over there at Michigan State, it's mandatory that you report it. So this is what the point of sticking that needs to be cleared up with Urban Meyer. The question, did he know about it? And a lot of the talking heads and partners said he didn't know about it, because if his wife knew about it, he had to know about it. But now we're talking about 2015. Maybe some people have short memories. They don't remember what's been told to them from day to day. But regardless, if it happened and he knew about it, then the bottom line is all the purpose of this committee is to find out actually did he know about it, and that's what we have the challenge at. And if he did, what is going to be the seventh pay? What is going to be the point of removing the individual from that position? This is going to set a precedent that was already set even before. When you go look at the situation at Baylor, you look at the situation at Penn State, you look at other situations that have occurred. How are we going to handle these situations in the workplace? Now, I'll tell you, one of the things that have been coming up is a discussion we've been by Title IX. We understand, and most people understand just the introduction of Title IX, that it makes sure we have equal sports for males and females on all levels that are considered to be competitive. And that's in regards to, let's understand that when we're talking about when you get into a secondary setting and up into a college setting, which is called a graduate setting, a post-secondary setting, and even to the professional, you got to have some equal playing field for each of the gender. So that's one of the things. That's what we are aware of. We're thinking that if you have one female team, you got to have one male team. Two male team, got to have two female teams. But it goes beyond. With the Me Too movement, it has went to the point where individuals know that when they hear something occurring like that, and you've been told as a universal employee is mandatory reporting, you should report it. And they say to their supervisor, because when you start getting as young adults or adults, you can't go to DHR and report like what they do in secondary and elementary and preschool. You have to do, when you're on that university campus, report it to your supervisor. Either your supervisor or whatever the chain of command is, you report it. And when you don't report it, you put yourself in a bad situation. So this is what we're dealing with this situation when you said Title IX. It has to be reported. And when you don't report it to the right individuals that serve in their supervisor capacity, then say you're an enabler then. You're allowing this to go on and allow it to be happening at your university. So this is something that really is trying to find out exactly. Did Urban Meyer know? Did his wife tell him? Now, we can go back to a situation with a professional team with the Philadelphia 76ers. It had nothing to do with domestic violence, but it had to do with that divulging of information that pertained to the players, which you can't do with the medical issue, the injury report, and the Philadelphia 76ers with Brian Colangelo. His wife got a Twitter account, had four or five Twitter accounts, and she was sending the information. She just thought she was helping him, but actually he was fired. So in essence, he was fired because people lost trust in him, lost trust to the point where he would divulge that information, even though he didn't do it physically. By him sharing it with his wife, who took it upon herself to share it with the public with these burner accounts, this led to him being fired. We got the same thing, and everybody look at it the same way with Urban Meyer. We're looking at it in a situation when Urban Meyer and his wife actually mean on a text and sending a text out saying that Urban has to know. That don't say she told Urban. Even when Courtney Smith, the victim, was interviewed, asked, did Urban know? And she came out and said, I'm not sure he knew, but I assumed he knew because his wife said that she may have to tell him. That's the point that's sticking with this situation. You know, it has to be dealt with. Now, the long way to go, I don't know what's good or bad, but I just think that they're going to do their due diligence to make sure they do the right thing. So that's the hot-button topic. You can call in and share your thoughts at 347-857-4192. Or you can just email me, and I'm going to just give you the radio show email. That's talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. And go to the Twitter account. You can go to that, talkingsportsplus with the number one. Just let me know something. Share your thoughts with me. Again, I really thank everybody that's joining us. And I mentioned the first two individuals. We have Mac and Ms. Nikita Mac. I appreciate you joining us as well. We're very excited about having the opportunity. So that's the hot button topic that I want you to share your thoughts on. Call in. Should Urban Myers be fired? Or if he do retain the job, what would be the backlash of him retaining his job? Did he do his due diligence to make sure this was done right? So we got a lot going on now, and we want you to kind of share your thoughts. Just keep your eyes glued to and your ears glued to the television or any media source that you're going to kind of tell you. But you probably won't hear the thing until about Monday. They're still going through the investigation. They're going to make some decisions. Then the next question comes along with that investigation. Is it all right that Ohio State investigate themselves? Now, I don't have an answer to that. A lot of people say no. A lot of people say yes. But I feel a little better when they got three members, which is from the board, which is the deciding body now. You just can't exclude them. It shouldn't be a report brought to them. In this matter, somebody should be on there to hear what has to be said and what the investigation, where it's going. Now, some people think they're going to manipulate it, but I think with the three outsiders, if they do, they're going to have some trouble. People are just not going to let this go. They're going to have a black eye in the media and the public, and the public will be on them like right on rice. So the thing about it, just keep an eye out for that situation. It's hot button, and that's what we're talking about. But we want you to be a part of the two. Like I said, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to share your thoughts about this, all you have to do is press 1, and I'll identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to identify yourself and your location, and you jump right in and share your thoughts with our listening audience. So we also want to move forward and talk about some other issues that was on the log for the show. We want to talk pretty much about a little professional basketball. Now, I'm moving from college football to professional basketball. In regards to a hot topic this week, and that's Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony agreed to terms with the Houston Rockets. My question, do Carmelo fit in with the Houston Rockets? Do he fit in with them? I want to know. Share your thoughts on it. But, you know, tell me what you think. Will this help the Houston Rockets get past Golden State Warriors? And somebody throw that other team that might slip in there and might be just a throwing in a lot of people's eyes, Los Angeles Lakers, and that's because they have LeBron James. And LeBron, we can never count him out. He can pull a group in Cleveland that was screaming and hollering and didn't want to go to the championship game, didn't want to go to the series, the finals. Didn't want to go, but he pulled them, brought them out, even though they were swept in four. We know how the first game went. So can he do it with this group of individuals that they signed with those one-year contract? And those individuals is Rondo, came from the Pelicans. You have JaVale McGee from Golden State. You have Michael Beasley that bounced around a couple teams. Then you have Lance Stevenson, and then they re-signed Caldwell Pope. So those are five veteran players. Pope is not as mature as the rest of them, don't have some of the experience, but he brings a whole energy level that they need. Now the question is LeBron, since he's part of this election process, don't think he's not. He's touching everybody he needs to touch. And calling them, say, you want to play, I like the way you played against me. And I think that was one of the key for Lance Stevens. Lance Stevens played LeBron pretty tough. He was up in his chest. You know, if you remember watching in the series between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Indiana Pacers, when Lance was standing beside him, he was blowing in LeBron's ear. And so it was so funny. But, you know, that's a competitive person. You know, those one of those rough riders. And that's what we call those players. And that's, I think, LeBron wants some rough riders. He didn't have the rough riders at Cleveland. He was playing the same game with Golden State. And you can't beat Golden State with five All-Stars playing their game. You have to have something a little different. Everybody said basketball has changed. We got a five-out set with everybody standing out and setting screens and cutting and either pulling up, shooting a three. But I also believe the physical part of the game is not totally wasted now. It's still there. It's still ready to be used, and I think that's the attitude that Magic had when they thought about trying to put this team together and putting together with people who are going to be rough riders, going to be physical, going to be tough, going to get up in those team faces and make them shoot the ball over the defense in their face. Bumping, grind. That's what it's all about. So, you know, I always say my hashtag is keep on grinding. So we want to keep out. I want you to share your thoughts on what do exactly you think about the Lakers, you know, in the moves they're making. What do you think about Houston with Melo? Would he give them that third option and to be competitive enough to beat Golden State? It went to a seven-game series with Golden State and Houston, and even though CP3 got hurt in that sixth ball game, and Golden State went on and took care of that series and took care of Cleveland in the finals. The question is, can Melo help? The biggest thing is, can he adjust his thought that I am not the superstar anymore? You cannot go to Houston thinking he's a superstar as well. Melo had a great career, going to be a Hall of Famer. But at this point, the game has adjusted, and he's not adjusting well. So the point is, with the superstars like James Harden and CP3, the ball handlers, the controllers, the scorers, that one and two and three individual, will Melo fit into that? We want to know. If you got a thought about it, you know, just send me some words of encouragement, words and thoughts in regards to that by just, you know, comment on it. I thank you. You're watching, comment on it. You pass by the computer, look at your phone, stroll over, look at it, you see me, comment on it. We're talking about something on the national basketball level that you want to discuss. So give us some thought on that. Again, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. So let's kind of move to another topic of discussion, and it's kind of dealing with Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard was traded to the Raptors for DeMar DeRozan, and that was a trade when you're talking about two superstars. The Kawhi is considered one of the three best players in the world. He's up there where those three players are LeBron, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard. So the question is, was it a gamble when we know Kawhi wants to go to the Lakers? Everybody said he just want to go to L.A. He said the reason I would not go through what he went through, be traded and exiled. Some people said Canada, that's exile because it's another country. We know, we understand the situation, our borders and everything. And to turn down $200 million and a max contract with San Antonio, you didn't hear Kawhi say very much, but his action through his agent and his handlers and his speakers showed that he didn't want to be in San Antonio no more. So the question is, you go through there saying you want to go to the Lakers, but you end up going to the Raptors because he was traded there. Your rights was owned by the San Antonio Spurs, and he was traded to the Raptors. And then when you got a chance next year, 19, to go to the team you want, and you end up at the Clippers, I don't understand that. That's just a waste to me. I don't understand that. But we'll see what's going to happen in this upcoming free agent in 2019. We look for exciting seasons in basketball again, especially in the West. We'll see a little bit in the East because Kawhi is in the East. So the question is, the next question dealing with Toronto is, the addition of Kawhi Leonard, can Toronto now get to the finals? That's the question. And I do want you to be a part of it. Again, you know, if you want to email me, email talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. You know, go to Twitter. You can either go at Lorenza B. Smith, or you can go to at Talking Sports Plus with the number one. Come on, get with it. Or you can call in. So tell me what you think. Do you think the Raptors, that's a hot button topic, gamble on this situation? Or since they have Kawhi Leonard, will they get to the final? We want to keep an eye because they're one of the top three or four teams. They just remember now, they won the conference last year. They just could not get over that kryptonite, which was LeBron James. LeBron is no longer there. So they made a choice to adjust his team. They fired the coach, Dwayne Casey, and they traded out with the considered to be the two top players, one from San Antonio, which is Kawhi Leonard, and DeMar DeRozan. We're going to kind of see how it's going to be. Keep an eye. Any thoughts you have on it, share it with me, because you're balling with the Doc, and we're excited about it. I'm really excited about having the opportunity to come to you at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time every Friday, talking about hot button topics. All right, the next thing we want to kind of look at is, and we're going to jump back into some football. And what we're going to jump into is that the situation with the Atlanta Falcons that seems to be solved, sort of like a Band-Aid on it, with Julio Jones. Julio Jones held out, he was a holdout. He didn't show up at any volunteer workout, no OTAs, wasn't even showing up for the start of the season, to the sense, until he got a contract extension. He wants to be one of the highest paid receiver. Now, the question is, and I don't even ask this, but, I'm going to put it out there because you may have some thoughts about it. Is he worthy of that? Is he considered to be one of the top five? I know he's the top 10, but he's one of the top five. Is he what? Can Atlanta function without him? Well, it was proven in that because Atlanta did what? Atlanta decided to extend his contract for this year. Additional $2.9 million that puts him up there with those highest paid receivers, right at the $17 million. Then also put in there that he would negotiate in 2019, a renegotiated contract that he had 3 years left on. So if they give him the $2.9 million, he'll play this year. The next year they'll renegotiate. In good faith, now they put that in there. Now I want y'all to understand that they really feel like that this move by Julio was not, affected that contract to be in good faith. So in essence, you got a situation where we're going to kind of see something happening. We're going to kind of see something occurring in regards to Julio Jones in 2019. Then you have Le'Veon Bell at Pittsburgh. There's another situation. The deadline went without them signing. Aaron Donald out there, the L.A. Rams. All of these individuals is holding out for more money. And we'll kind of see Khalil Mack over there at the Raiders, all of them holding out for more money. So we'll kind of see how this thing turn out. Another hot-button topic that has occurred in the NFL is the Dallas Cowboys owners, Jerry Jones, came out as well as his son, and the statement from them in regards to the national anthem, where he was kneeling at the national anthem because of bringing awareness to the injustice to black males or black Americans, and we wanted the justice system to be some things that happened, that occurred. So they ruled a policy, the NFL. Commissioners, as well as the owners, will have a policy and agree to a policy that everybody will stand or they could stay in the locker room. So there was some controversy over that. So there were some thoughts about that. And now Jerry Jones came and said, I had to give you the little background that's dealing with it. Jerry Jones came back and said that it's the American way, the Dallas Cowboys, and I might not be quoting directly, nobody tried to call me on this, but he was saying that all of his players, staff, and whoever will stand and stand on the line because it's the Dallas way. That just brought some discussion. It became another hot button topic. We started off Monday with, and it's whether he was right or wrong, he made that statement. He's the owner, and he made that statement. This is the thinking of all the other owners, 31 owners in the NFL. They think the same way because they're going to stick together now. They're going to hold it together. If all of them say it, they say it. But the thing about it, the Players Union came together, the NFL Players Union, Player Association got together and wanted to renegotiate and look at this. So they're discussing it. We'll hear something very soon in regards to that national anthem. So we'll go from that and see how that returns. But if you got any thoughts on it, if you heard anything different, share it with us. You can call in at 347-857-4192. Had one additional individual just added that I want to mention who it is. That's the Preacher Man, which is one of my ball players back many years ago, basketball player in high school where I was a head basketball coach, and that's Michael Clemens. Michael, thank you for joining me. And I'm very excited about having you as well as all the other individuals now on this broadcast, which is Facebook, as well as we're live on Blog Talk Radio. A couple other topics we want to kind of touch bases on, and I want you to kind of share your thoughts on it. If you know, just email me, which is Talking Sports Plus, Twitter, at Lorenzo D. Smith, or at Talking Sports Plus with the number one. Or you can call in 347-857-4192, press 1, identify with the last four digits of your cell number, then ask you to identify yourself and your location. Next topic we want to look at is the quarterback battles. We're now going to talk about NCAA football now. It's getting close to the season starting up. Everybody's getting excited. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have our first kickoff game on August, during the week of August the 25th, where you have several teams that's going to be playing. I know for sure in the southeastern part of the United States, you're going to have what they call the Guardian Credit Union kickoff classes. That will be in Montgomery, Alabama, and it's going to be between North Carolina A&T University and Jacksonville State University. North Carolina A&T is one of our historical black colleges and universities that we always talk about on our Wednesday night show, because that show deals with historical black colleges, universities, high schools, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So they'll be in Montgomery, and they'll be participating in that kickoff classes. So you can join us anywhere around, close by, within, you know, whatever, 300-400 miles, because that North Carolina A&T coming is going to be that type of ride for them. So they're coming. Come join us in Montgomery. And I'll be there broadcasting in regard to that game. You can come and check us out at our booth, which is Talking Sports Plus Radio. In essence, that is LD Smith Production. Come see us. And we'll be balling with the coach as well as we'll be doing Talking Sports Plus. Come meet us, and we'll have that day to meet and greet. So we look forward to having an opportunity. So we're going to look at the quarterback situation, the battles that's going on. We talked about this on Wednesday night, and pretty much there were several quarterback battles that besides Tua and Jalen at the University of Alabama, because that's been talked about constantly, but we want to talk about other battles that we think that might occur. At the University of Georgia, you have Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. Jake Fromm is our game manager. Justin Fields is one of those dual threat quarterbacks. He's a freshman, but he's been there since January. So the question is, will he press this situation? Maybe there'll be a change. So is it a battle actually going on at this point? So we'll keep an eye out for that, and we'll make sure we keep you abreast of it. But I know that it is going to be a battle. Some people say, no, he's not going to battle, but I just believe Justin Fields is going to press him, going to press him hard. Another battle we talked about and we're going to talk about is Trevor Lawrence and Kelly Bryant. Kelly Bryant, vice versa. He was a starting quarterback last year for Clemson. And those other two quarterbacks I just mentioned for the University of Georgia. And for Clemson, we have Trevor Lawrence and Kelly Bryant. Kelly Bryant is more of a game manager as well. He carried Clemson a long way until they got into the playoff. And in Alabama, they played in that first round, and it wasn't nice. So the question now, Trevor Lawrence, outstanding All-American, number one quarterback in the country, went to Clemson, and he'll be on campus. And matter of fact, he's been on campus in January. He's going to press. Will he press Kelly Bryant? Press Kelly Bryant to take his job? So we'll kind of keep an eye for that. So that's another quarterback battle that's going on. And we'll look to see how that turns. That's at Clemson University. Then at Florida State, you have DeAndre Francois and James Blackman. Remember last year, Francois was the starter until he got hurt. Blackman came in, the lack of experience, went through his bumps and bruises. Will he be pressing Francois to get that starting position? That's a battle we want you to keep an eye out for. We also looked at the situation at Ohio State. Oh, Ohio State is in the news. We know it's in the news, dealing with Urban Meyer. But they got a it won't be a quarterback battle, but it pretty much will be a situation where JT Barrett has been there for four or five years, and we got a quarterback that got a little experience last year, Dwayne Haskell. He probably won't be pressed as hard for that position, but can he carry and take Ohio State to the next level? You're going to keep an eye. If you have any thoughts about that, share your thoughts with it. Call in number 347-857-4192. Then we also want to look at the situation at Louisville, University of Louisville. You have, will they become mediocre? Because Lamar Jackson is in the pro. We're going to talk about Lamar Jackson in a little bit. But he's now at the Baltimore Ravens. He was drafted 32nd player in the first round, the last player drafted, but he was drafted to be eventually be a player or starter at the Baltimore Ravens. So we'll talk about that. But what exactly is Louisville going to do? They got to play the University of Alabama down in Orlando that September the 1st. And that class, that I call them kickoff classes. They may call them something else. But they're going to get started on that date. And the question is whether I think the young man, Pass, his name is Pass, will he be able to keep them on the level they need to be on at Louisville? So we'll keep an eye out for that situation, that quarterback situation at the University of Louisville. All right, we want to kind of springboard into something that really was disturbing to me, and it was hot button to me because it happened in the Pac-10 media day, happened during that time. It was dealing with Bryce Love. Bryce Love chose not to come to the Pac-10 media day so he could go to class. So Dennis Dodd, a senior editor with our reputable, one of the reputable CBS, stated that reputable affiliate, stated that he did not understand why Bryce Love was absent from the Pac-10 media days. This was a dangerous precedent that's being set, and this is going to go to the point that every player, superstar player that don't want to attend the Pac-10, SEC, Big 12, Big 10, or the ACC media day can Skype in. And he was making a statement that rubbed individuals the wrong way. And how it rubbed everybody the wrong way was that he mentioned about Tim Tebow, that during his days he would have never took time off and he would have came and gave them the honor of being interviewed. However, he also said that the school needed him to be there. The conference needed him to be there. But, and we'll talk about Bryce Love now, possibly could be our Heisman winner coming up, but he will be a candidate, saying that he chose to go to class than to come to the media day just for another summer lecture. And the point that disturbed me was I thought our student athletes is what we're pressing them to be the best student they can be besides being the best athlete. So what happened was you had a situation where Dennis Dodd said that this individual should have skipped his class, which was a class that he needed to have because, as you know, as an athlete, if you've ever been an athlete and you know of any athletes that's in college, I can tell you now, during season, you'll get an opportunity to take those heavy classes because you're out of the class most of the time. You're traveling on Friday or sometimes Thursday to play a game on Saturday, and you get back Sunday, and then you got to get your down day and you're trying to go to class, trying to catch up, you're setting in the session. So by this student taking a class in the summer that he probably couldn't take in the fall, to be told that he should have skipped that class because it's nothing but a lecture, a summer lecture, and come to Pac-10 Media Day. I think that was an agreement between the conference and that was an agreement by the school that he could skip it and he could do any interview by Skype. So one of the things that concerned me about it, I just think that we take for granted academics. This kid could be the best athlete in the world, but we must have it in their mind that they'd be the best student they can be. And Bryce Love proved that. So Dennis Dodd, as I said earlier, and I continue to share on the other shows, that this was wrong. You owe him an apology, and you all get applauding him for making that decision that he would go to class because he's in human biology, which is one of his areas to be a doctor. That's his dream, that he should go just consider that class as just a lecture, and it's not important, and just go to the Pac-10 media day. Then he died. They don't like it. Thank you for your words, but we really don't care. But you got the attention of everybody, and that's why I want to hear individuals watching now. Just remind anybody that all the individuals you associate with, in form of children or cousins or relatives or whoever, make sure education is first. If you have a son that's a student athlete, make sure he's academic. You have a nephew, cousin, or whoever it may be, have a niece who's an athlete. And I can't forget the females, because we sometimes get to talking and forget about mentioning them. And make sure you keep them on task. Support them academically. Yes, go to the game. Cheer, holler, scream, and hop. Do all you want to do, but make sure you support them academically. And I see several people on here. I know particularly one that have a son that's in high school, and I know she would have probably clap back at me. She will let me know that I'm trying to hit the nail on the head in regards to that. Again, I want to mention to the individual that's joining us, since I just stated the other one and addressed the other ones, that's Antonio Washington, one of my frat brothers. Thank you, Antonio, again. You for joining us again. Capucina Ware, thank you. Shanita Arrington Mitchell, thank you. When they tell me to wave, y'all wave. Wave at me. Send me some thumbs up. It'll begin. That's great. Good to have you here, and I thank you for joining us. So, again, Dennis Dodd made that. He's a senior editor with CBS, and he made that statement. And I was hogwash, be quiet. Everybody don't have to shut up and play basketball. You had heard that before. Don't shut up. Don't stay at home. Don't go to class and play football. Go to class and play football. That's what we say. Next thing we want to kind of share some thoughts on is in regards to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson had his debut last night, and I do want to make sure you call in and share your thoughts on the shoulder. Again, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. I want to make sure you share your thoughts about what's going on, the hot-button topic. The hot button topic. I'm going to repeat that because it has been some infernal, on fire topics, and we want to be the one to share it with you, which you already heard. But this is coming from Talking Sports Plus Radio, which is our show is Balling with the Doc, and I am just happy to have an opportunity to share my thoughts with you and my expertise in regards to these topics of discussion. We want to kind of look at Lamar Jackson and last night. You know, Lamar Jackson, I mentioned earlier, from the University of Louisville, also the Heisman Trophy winner 2 years ago, had an opportunity to kind of do his debut last night in the Hall of Fame game. I want you to grade him. Tell me how you thought he did. You know, yes, he made some mistakes. He didn't throw the ball as well. He probably wanted to, but he did have some success. Tell me what you think about his performance. Did he have a good performance or a bad performance? Now, if you don't have to say it, just give him a thumbs up if you think he had a performance that was good enough to get, just kind of give him an opportunity to get a feel of playing in a game like that and move forward. Now, we know, you know, the number of completion for the number of yards, three completion with about 40 yards. That is not great, but the point is he used his leg. He gave them a whole different situation, a weapon in regards to his legs. So my point is, and I want you to kind of share your thoughts on it. Once you try to give me a call. If you can't give me a call, just thumbs up if you're on Facebook and share. Just let me know. You know, did he? What would you think his grade would be? You know, let me know. Give me some sign. You know, I'm gonna wave at all of y'all if y'all wave at me, and make sure you are part of this, and I appreciate it. Also, we have Giselle Bello, Pretty Smile, is also watching. I thank you for watching. Again, I didn't mention her, but I make sure I mention her. So what would you say his grade would be on the performance? Talking about Lamar Jackson with the Baltimore Ravens. You know, everybody excited. I'm excited. And we talked about who would have success out of the draft, the five quarterbacks drafted in. And I said Lamar Jackson because he adds a whole different wrinkle to it. He brings that situation where he's a dual threat. Even though the professional coaches and team want the quarterback to stand in that pocket so he can read the field, the top back, but having that ability to get out of trouble when you're in trouble is important. Having that ability to run some things in the RPO, run pass option, that adds a whole new dilemma to professional football. So Lamar Jackson got everybody excited in Baltimore. So we look forward to for him to have an outstanding year. Flacco has to kind of stay on top of it. If he's not on top of it, Lamar will run right by him. So we're very excited about having this chance again to come before you and share these thoughts. I would like to know what you think his grade was in the debut, his NFL debut. Just let me know. Email me, text me, Messenger, go to Messenger, you know, go whatever you want to go to, just share. But the email is talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. You can go to the Twitter, that's @LorenzaDSmith, and then also @TalkingSportsPlus with the number one. Or you can call in. We can get you to call in. We have about 9 minutes left in the show, so we want you to call in. That's 347-857-4192. And, you know, all you got to do is press 1, and then I identify with the last 4 digits of your cell or your telephone number, and then I'll ask you to come on, introduce yourself and your location. All right, another topic we want to kind of share our thoughts on, and that's in regards to the SWAC movement of their football and basketball championship back to Birmingham, Alabama for 1 year. Is that good or bad? Tell me what you think. As a show that we talked about this, and we want 100 things to happen that would happen, and we were hoping more or less would happen before the beginning of the season. And it's one of them we talked about. It came to fruition because had we had an opportunity to move it back, because I don't know how much success it was at Houston, but if you pan the stands and look at the numbers that was going in and out of the SWAC championship in football and basketball, I don't think it met what they thought it would be. Bringing it back to an area, a state where there's no other kind of levels higher than college, and football is king in Alabama and most of the southeastern part of the United States. I really think that it was a plus, and a plus to that, the SWAC, which is the Southwest Athletic Conference, headquarters is in Birmingham. So that works in their favor in a way. So I just think that they started off there, and here they're back, at least for one year, excuse me, to kind of see exactly how it's going to turn out. So we look forward to it. We're very excited in this part of the country to have that SWAC game back here. So moving it back for football and basketball is going to be a great opportunity because it will allow Birmingham in the next few years, as if you have not heard, they're going to build a new stadium, seat about 55,000 persons, state of the art, in conjunction and partnership with the University of Alabama Birmingham athletic program, football program. They're going to have that stadium available, so they're going to be able to play that championship as well as the Magic City Classic game in there, and that should be 2020. You will see them doors open up and ready to go. That's the ultimate goal. In fall of 21, we know it's eventually coming. So we're very excited. Now, we're down to about 7 minutes now. I want to hear from you. You know, I'll go back, and I want to make sure, and I'm going to stroll now for those individuals. I want them to make sure I mention them for taking their valuable time to talk with me, or share a thumbs up, send me a smile, whatever they were sending me. I do appreciate it, and I want to make sure I mention them again. That's DJ Jefferson is watching. You have Tapica McKinley watching, Nikia Mack, Preacher Man, Michael Clemens, Gazelle Bello, Pretty Smile, Antonio Washington, my frat brother, appreciate you. Cappuccino Ware, appreciate you too. And Shanita Arrington Mitchell, I appreciate y'all taking time and watching what's going on. My camera just flipped all to the kitchen area, and wow, it just gone a little crazy, but it's all good, and I'm going to bring it closer to me so I can switch it back and look at my face. Hey, how y'all doing? We just had a little situation where the camera wanted to turn away from this part. So you had a chance to see the kitchen area, but it is what it is. We're going to do what we need to do. I appreciate you joining us. I'm very excited about having the opportunity to come before you again. We'll be with you Monday night, talking real to you. Starts at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Also, Wednesday night, we'll be coming at you again. Wonderful Wednesday, hump day, talking Sports Plus, and then again next Friday, Balling with the Coach. You know, it's been awesome. I had a great time, and, you know, we look forward to continuing to take time to allow you to be a part of this show. You know, we don't own the rights to the music, but we want you to come and hear some music. We look forward to talking to you.
Doing great things for me.
We look
forward to talking
to you.
How the Lord you keep on doing great things for me. Oh, the Lord you keep on doing great things for me. Doing great things for me. Right on.